There is the Bible verse that says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer." In that spirit, let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your word it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Lord, we pray that as we think about the daily steps we take, the thoughts we have, and the things we do, your word would be that light. Lord, we also pray that it would be a light for our path. When we look ahead into the future, with its challenges, with its blessings, with how fast time goes by, we pray, Lord, that your word would be a lamp unto our path also. Father, we pray that as your word also says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit's guidance, your word would find a place in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, I pray that your word would give us not only knowledge, but also how we can live it out with our voices and our hands and our feet. Lord, may we be true to what your Spirit calls us to. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that gave your word thousands of years ago. May your same Holy Spirit guide us to understand it, live it, and apply it today. Lord, we pray that you'd be with all of your churches, whether around the corner or around the world, who look to you in spirit and in truth. So now, Lord, enlighten your word by your Spirit's leading to what you call us to. Amen. For our scripture readings this morning, we have a lot of them. I'd like to read two psalms because of what they say to one another back to back. And then as we take a look at those, and I'll address how I feel they speak to us through this pandemic, through this Lent time, it has a particular focus in Mark 10, verse 32 to 34, and Luke 9, verse 51. So beginning with Psalm 72. When it comes to Psalm 73, I'm just going to read a few select verses. So the word of the Lord, Psalm 72. "Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon. Through all generations, he will be like rain falling on the mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more." Going down to verse 12. "For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight." Verse 18. "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." Now Psalm 73, beginning at verse 3, then verse 10, 19, and 26 to 29. Psalm 73. "For I envied the arrogant, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 10. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. Verse 16. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. And the final verse, verse 28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Then Mark chapter 10. And here's where more of the Lent account becomes clear. Mark 10, verse 32 to 34. When they were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. And then a final verse from Luke 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. The word of the Lord. May he add his blessing to all who hear and who read and who apply it. So we have some different readings in front of us. Readings that I'd like to take some time to open up. But I think I want to start with the question of Nathanael and the question of COVID. Because the challenges are changing. The road seems long, but in this Lent time, the challenges are changing. Nathanael had heard from his brother about this Jesus. And Nathanael heard where Jesus was from, and he said, Nazareth? Can any good thing come from there? And sometimes with COVID, we have a similar question. COVID? Can any good thing come from there? Well, they say we're in a third wave. And I think in my area, we might experience a little bit more of that because the last few days, the numbers went up with these variants. Can any good thing come from this? I think I mentioned last time, I sure hope that this time round, or the second or third time, that we take better care of some of our seniors in the long-term care facilities. And I really wonder whether people will come to Christ and back to the church, because I've seen some numbers that say the numbers who anticipate going back are less. But I've also heard that the pandemic that we have is going to be replaced almost immediately by a second pandemic, one of mental health. And when people realize the mental health needs that those around them have, I wonder if that won't be a call for us to be ready all the more to give a reason for the hope that we have. I pray that it would bring people to the Lord. And I pray that our faith, the Lord within us, our Christian responses, our churches, ourselves, will leave this time of lament. That's what the prayer began with, the responsive reading that we have from our Reformed Church. I believe that after that lament, we can go further, because Psalm 72 also has that lament. It talks about the messianic agenda, the poor and the needy being at the top of the list. But then it moves from there, Psalm 73, to complain that the rich just seem to be getting their own way as usual. But then at the very end of Psalm 73, after that messianic agenda of Psalm 72, comes Psalm 73, but then it begins, or it ends, it ends by saying, "But I will tell of your deeds." And really, when we look at Psalm 72 and 3 together, we kind of get glimpses of what ought to be, looking for those who have particular needs and struggles, and looking for the Lord to help in meeting those needs. It goes from glimpses of what ought to be to struggling with the way that things are right now, right here. And I think in this Lent season, we do that as well. We look at where things need to be and where we are. And Jesus does that with the disciples too, because it's rather strange the mixed feelings that Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd have as they're getting close to Jerusalem just before the time of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. The disciples and Jesus and the people are walking up to Jerusalem. The disciples are astonished. Well, a lot of times we are too, but what are the disciples astonished about? The Bible doesn't say. We can read the verses before this, and it might be about those teachings that Jesus just shared. They were astonished. Were they astonished, perhaps, that Jesus was going so resolutely towards Jerusalem, and they thought, this can't be good, because they knew what was happening in Jerusalem. They knew the plans that some had been laying for Jesus to come to trial for what he's saying and doing. Why are you going to Jerusalem? The followers had a different set of feelings. The followers, we read in God's word, were afraid. It doesn't say what they were afraid about, though. Were they afraid about their own lives? Because many of them had had that messianic hope that Jesus would restore the people of God to what they had been during the time of David. So we have astonished disciples, followers who are afraid, the hope for what Jesus might become, to doubting what could come good out of the plans that they knew were there for Jesus because of what the leaders felt about him. So Jesus does something very interesting. He does this when I'm here on the 11th. I want to share what Jesus did with Thomas and what he said, what Jesus did with the people on the road to Emmaus and what he said. Jesus stops and takes them aside, and he teaches them something important. And I think we need to do that too in the busyness of all that goes on, whether it's COVID or family lives. We need to stop and say, Lord, what does your word say? What are you telling us? We need to pray for God's leading in that. So Jesus, right then and there, takes aside the 12. He's resolutely on his way to Jerusalem. He's leading to Jerusalem. The words imply that he's almost leading, not forcefully, but he's not just going with the crowd. He's directing and leading them in a stronger way than he had before. So he takes the 12 aside and tells them. He tells them exactly what is going to happen. And yet they seem so astonished when Good Friday comes. And then when Easter comes. He tells them straight out, he will be betrayed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will betray him. He will be condemned to death and then handed over from those Jewish chief priests and teachers of the law. He'll be handed over from them because they can condemn him, but they can't carry it out. they will hand him over to the Gentiles, the Romans. They will mock and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And then we get to a stage like happens at the end of Psalm 73. After all of that struggling in Psalm 73 with the way things actually are, after Jesus tells them so clearly what will happen, in Psalm 73, I will tell of your deeds, says the psalm writer. Here, Jesus says, after all of this, what will happen? Not in a long time, but we have these six words. 3 days later, he will rise. So he's saying what they're going to do to him, the Son of Man, and then he's saying to him, the Son of Man, 3 days later, he will rise. I really am certain that they didn't get it. They knew by their astonishment and fear that they were going into a place of trouble. Though they had great hope, 3 days later, he will rise. He's speaking clearly of himself. Well, what about this Lent season? The challenges are changing, and we need to look to Christ's death and resurrection and things around us. And let's not miss it. Because last year we missed Easter, didn't we? There was no Good Friday service. There was no Sunday Easter service. I'm fairly sure you didn't have one here either, because that was the beginning of COVID, just a few weeks before that. This year we have the blessing. It looks like we will have Good Friday and Easter. The challenges are changing. The physical challenges of COVID, what a blessing. I almost want to be brave and say, how many seniors have your shot? Some of the physical challenges with COVID are lessening. How many seniors had a chance to have their inoculation ready? Well, praise God. I think you still have one more to follow through with it, right? It's the double one, isn't it? And then in 4 or 6 or 8 weeks, you get your second one. Well, the physical challenges are changing because there's hope now that the vaccines are coming quicker. Maybe not as quick as we want to, but they are coming quicker. The physical challenges are changing. But I think that the mental challenges are going to show their head a little bit more. We'll look back and there were deaths and there were births and there were special family events that all got missed. There are people who have had COVID and have been in that isolation, that difficult place, that are coming back and they're going to need some attention and help and care. They say 20% of those who have had COVID will need some kind of mental health assistance. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and Luke 9, verse 51, points us to Jesus' attitude that he is sharing and showing as he goes. Luke 9, 51, as the time approached. The time means his death and resurrection. Luke 9, 51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. Notice it doesn't point to his death on the cross, Good Friday. It's not pointing to Easter. It's not pointing to Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's pointing to 10 days after. It's pointing to his ascension. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, and keep in mind, heaven is where Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus set out on the course that he was to face. Jesus set out for that Holy Week time, that time when he would endure all of what would lead up to Good Friday. We call that the Passion Week. Jesus resolved, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And I think we need to pause there sometime because we need to resolve as well too. We're getting through some of the physical danger, threat of COVID. Not that a third wave won't happen. Not that we're going to deal for a long time with are more vaccinations coming or less. But we need to resolve as well. Let's resolve this Easter 2021 that all the more we will understand what Jesus did for us, and all the more commit ourselves to being a light, to being salt, as I shared when I was here last. Because let's be honest, a lot of people are getting weary of politicians, weary of what's being said daily from the Ontario government and the Canadian government, getting weary of what's going on, and we sure hope that we can travel again, that we can get out there again. And there are more people that are saying now, hey, in a couple months, we're going to be back to the roaring 20s. People will be spending and hugging and traveling and hoping and having outings and celebrating again. Well, maybe so, but let's also resolve that through the challenges that are coming, because they're changing, through the anticipation that's coming, because it changes too, that we'll have that not simply thread, but that whole life trajectory that says, Lord, this time and these days and our lives are in your hands, and until you come back, show us, Lord, how to be salt and to be light. Let's resolve in the days and hours and years that the Lord has given us to reflect, to be a beacon. I'm also praying that God will give us Jeremiah's or Joshua's or Joseph's, Christian leaders in a foreign land, you might say, in a difficult time, that will do the will of the Lord, that we can stand alongside. As we come out of this pandemic, will our faith also come out? Psalm 73 ends, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. I think we need to pray that these words in Psalm 73 can be our words too. Can we tell of your deeds? And I'd like to challenge you with something as you think of that. As you look back through the pandemic, I've yet to find any authors that are spending time saying, Lord, what good has come from this pandemic? I've had about 60 students in my substitute, I'm a substitute teacher the last year, and I do pulpit supply regularly, but I've asked a lot of students what good has come out of the pandemic. It's quick and easy to say, oh, we miss our social activities, our friendship gatherings, our family gatherings, our sports, but they're so glad to be back in school. But I've challenged every class I substitute teach, because I've got my Ontario license to teach, but I teach just in Christian schools. And in the many classes I've taught the past weeks, this past week I had a full five-day week, taught every day a different class. No, one class was 2 days in a row. It's amazing how many teachers need to quickly get COVID shots, and then, not COVID shots, they need to get the, to find out if they have COVID because they've had some exposure or they've got some little cough. Well, then teachers take a day or two off because they have to find out. It takes that long to get the results, and then they need substitute teachers. So as I've been in those classes, I've snuck 5 minutes out of their snack time or their recess time or their, not recess time, or their opening time and saying, tell me how COVID is going for you. Tell me how your class and your family is doing. And it doesn't take too long before one will shyly put up their hand and then a few more. And then I pass them out 3x5 cards, you know, the cue cards, right? And I'll say, let's think about what good thing has come out of this. And a lot of them will give a pretty standard answer, say, oh yeah, extra time at home or things like that. But every few students, I'll get an answer a bit deeper. And some will say, oh, my mom told me how to cook. My dad said that he built a rink because we can't go other places and we'll have a skating rink now in our backyard. But some of them will say some things that are pretty deep. I never realized how much my little sister needs to be read to and really likes it. Or, I really missed school. They can write that on a card quicker than they'll say it. Who wants to say in front of their friends, I missed school? Not too many. But I've got about 50 or 60 nice responses from students who can label good things that have come out of the pandemic, and in spite of, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. All things work together for those who love the Lord. before the pandemic is over, can we label some things that God has done that might not have happened hadn't it have been for the pandemic? I'm not trying to make it into a good thing, but it can be a godly thing if good comes out of it, because God will use it for good. We just don't know how yet. And I pray that we can and we will start placing it in our hearts and minds, our prayer and planning, our dreams and our aspirations to be resolved. Jesus knew he was facing his death. He knew he was going to be beaten and spit upon and all that stuff. And he resolved to walk through it. Walk through with what he had to do. What are we called to do? We're called to walk through the pandemic too, but to let the love of the Lord shine through us in it. It's really hard to figure out how to balance boldness and humbleness before God and before others. I'm not simply saying that we need to do more, but maybe we need to find those God moments, those good moments, and to have some deeper conversations as people ask, how are you doing? I think sometimes when I visit old age homes or older people or people who are sick or people who I think need help, have you ever done that? You go to visit someone and you want to find out how they're doing, and more often than not, you leave and that person has given you something. They've taught you something or shown you an attitude or shown you some hope that you thought they needed help, and you ended up leaving inspired. So how can we let our light shine in such a way that they will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven? I think we do that by rereading the last verses in some of the things I shared. And that is, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. The last verse in Psalm 73. The last verse of what Jesus said when he took his disciples aside on the way to Jerusalem. 3 days later, he will rise. Looking at what Jesus did, he resolved, set out resolutely for Jerusalem. What is our Jerusalem? I pray that during this lockdown, as we leave COVID and its variants, we will find ways we can look back and say, Lord, how have you used this? How can you use me? Maybe we need to realize that Jesus also takes us aside to teach us what we need to learn. If you look to God's word and ask for his Spirit's leading, he will have something to teach you for your head, make you feel for your heart, or give you for your hands and your feet and your voices to do. And sometimes it's just the simplicity of waiting. And as I shared earlier in the message, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's times when we need to be drawn away to listen. I'm not sure if I told you a verse that I learned for the first time, just about a month or two ago. Maybe I didn't get a chance to share it with you. It's Luke 8, verse 18. It's a verse there I never saw before, and it especially applies for me and what I need to do. Luke 8, verse 18 says this, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. I think too often I listen just so that I can put in my time and then tell you what I think about what you're saying or the story I want to share. I haven't been a good listener. Being a good listener is a gift. And Jesus tells us, after the parable of the sower, after the lamp on a stand that should give light to all who are in the house, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Listen to your family members or the people around you. And then when they ask your opinion or how you feel or how you're doing, let the light and love and reality of your faith shine through. But don't fake it. If you doubt, if you're worried, you can say, the Lord is God of heaven and earth, but I just feel far from him now, or I'm worried about things. Because that's what half of the Psalms are about. People coming before the Lord, but being honest about their hurts and doubts and fears. And that's how we're called to live. And we are called to be allow ourselves to be like the disciples, taken aside by Jesus, even though we're walking resolutely, and be taught. And what's that teaching going to be? Well, it's going to be hard, hearing about Jesus and how he's going to be treated. But it ends with hope. We know how this story ends, people of God. So let's be drawn away and listen and learn and follow, or maybe be a leader. Let's tell of your deeds, because in 3 days later, he will rise, and the times, the challenges are changing. And we are called to see them. Not first. First see the Lord and his love and leading and purpose, and then respond. We're not called to be initiators, we're called to be responders. Respond to what God has done for us, what we see around us, and then let our light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, and being ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. Amen, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for its power, its strength, the way it teaches and the way it comforts, the way it challenges, and the way it fills, the only way in which that hole in our lives can be filled. And Lord, help us to remember that your word isn't just the printed word on the page of our Bibles. Your word became flesh through your Son, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. And because your word became flesh and dwelt among us through Jesus, we have his death for our sins. Help us to respond in faith. And Lord, of course we have doubts and worries and wondering and hope and dreams. But Lord, help us to temper them first by saying, "Thy will be done, not my will." Lord, help me to learn all the more that I need to be a person who listens more and speaks less. Lord, help us to be a people who respond to the needs around us, to uphold one another and others and our world in prayer. Help this place to always be a house of prayer and us to be a people of prayer. But Lord, help us also to hear when we need to set out resolutely, when we need to use our words, our hands, our feet to go and be the light and salt you call us to be. Help us to be a people who grow in knowledge and in wisdom and who feel correctly too. But also, Lord, to never think we can do it on our own. Help us to be very ready to say, "Lord, I don't know." Help us to be very ready to say, "Lord, forgive me," and to say that to others too. Forgive us. We don't know. But Lord, many things about tomorrow we don't seem to understand, but we know who holds the future and we know who holds our hand. Amen.